Jonah, as we have seen, went into the city of Nineveh to faithfully preach the Word of God. In verse 4, we have the kernel of his message, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. We have seen that the people of that city believed in God, and they repented. And now this morning, we see God responding. God responding. When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. As we look at this text this morning, and we see the great response of God coming through the preaching of the Word of God and the actions of the people, I'd like to encourage you a couple of things. I'd like to encourage you, first of all, to see the utter God-centeredness of the salvation which God brings to the people of Nineveh. I think that's an important aspect of what takes place. The utter God-centeredness of the salvation which God brings to the people of Nineveh. And then I'd like to encourage something else as we go through this short time together. I'd really like to encourage you to flip through your Bible with me. And why am I encouraging this? I'm encouraging this because the Scriptures interpret the Scriptures. They are the best interpreter of the words which God gives to us in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10. Some of you may be familiar with the late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. It was said of him that when he took a text from Scripture, he used that text as a doorway into the whole rest of the Bible. And sometimes when you read his sermons, it seems that way, that he covers a huge expanse of Scripture and does use a small text to open up a large portion of Scripture. Well, I think that's right, because Scripture is a whole. And the best, as I've said, the best interpreter of Scripture is Scripture itself. And as we look at the Scriptures interpreting themselves, we learn from that experience. And the only way to do it is to really wrestle with the Scriptures. And we do ourselves a great disservice when we fail in this regard. Well then, let's look at our text. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. God saw their deeds. What exactly did God see? God saw that this great city repented. And we can understand that God, in his greatness, could look into the very hearts of these individuals within this city, and he saw that they repented. That's one aspect of the text. But more importantly, the text tells us God saw their deeds. Let's not miss this. There is a little interpretation given within the text. God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way. You will recall in chapter 1 and verse 2, where God says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." You will recall that we said that the wickedness of this city came up before God, like the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah came up before the living God. But now, as God views this city again, what does he see? He saw, it says, he saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, that their former manner of life was one thing, and they explicitly turned from that former manner of life from those wicked ways and began to walk in a different direction. Their manner of life changed. They became different people. They did not do the same old things that were done in the past. There was a dramatic and great change which took place in the lives of these people. And of course, we understand that this is the essence of the Christian faith, changed lives. And as God looked down from His throne in heaven, He saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way. It seems to me that this really emphasizes for us the concern that God has for the deeds and the works of men. Because you see, dear Christian friends, the deeds and the works of men have eternal significance. Let's be clear about this. Look, if you would, at the Gospel of John, chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verses 28 and 29. In John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus says, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tomb shall hear His voice and shall come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life. Those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." Now, I dare say that in these words of Jesus, we would be remiss if we did not indicate that the deeds of men have eternal significance. Is this not what Jesus is saying? And then look at the very end of Scripture in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Verses 12 and 13. Here is the end given to us in picture form. "And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds." Is God concerned with our conduct? Indeed, He is. And when Christ comes a second time in glory, the dead will be judged. There will be a great resurrection. And when the books are opened, men and women like you and me will be judged on the basis of deeds. God's concerned, folks, with how we live. And then there's that text which we read earlier in Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, where John the Baptist speaks. Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. "But when He saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, He said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bring forth fruit in keeping with your repentance.'" Yes, how we live does make a difference. You see, you cannot say on one hand, "Oh, I repent," and then go on living in the same old way. It will not wash. And that's what John the Baptist was saying to these Pharisees. There's a couple of ways to look at this. You see, on one side, if there is real repentance within the human heart, if there is a change of thinking, if there is a different way of approaching reality, if a view of life has turned around, then the way the individual lives in this life will also be changed. There's no two ways about it. On the other hand, you see, if we as upright people say, well, I'm going to live differently. I am going to follow the commandments of God. But within our hearts, there is not wrought by the Spirit of the living God a real change of attitude towards life. Then we play the Pharisee. Because there are outward deeds which are not hooked to a real change of heart on the inside. And folks, in the Church of Jesus Christ today, we're not in the work of producing Pharisees. We're not in the work of saying, look, this is how you should live. Go do it. And this life should not be attached to a real change in the inner man. We're not in that kind of business at all. And when you go back to Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10, God saw their deeds. Their works were very important. What they did, how they lived was very important. On one hand, the stench of evil came up before God. And now, on the other hand, a sweet savor came up before the living God. He saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked ways. Now, how do we come to grips with this? Well, here's how we come to grips with what we're saying. First of all, we need to recognize that repentance, a real turn in the life of an individual, a real change in the life of an individual, is a gift from God. Do you remember how the Apostle Peter went to the home of a Roman centurion and preached the gospel there? And he was amazed that the Holy Spirit came upon these people. And he went back to Jerusalem and reported to the elders and the Jews in Jerusalem how it was when he proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ in this centurion's household that the Spirit of God came upon those men and women and young people and children in that household. And do you know what the response was? They said, praise the Lord. It appears that God has granted also to the Gentiles repentance unto life. And it was true. God had given that great gift to these people. And so it was among the people of Nineveh, that when Jonah went forth preaching in that great city and said, oh, in 40 days, God will destroy this great city. God at the same time saw fit to work in the hearts of those who heard the message, and he gave to them a wonderful gift, the gift of repentance. So they turned. They turned from their wicked ways. In this context, I'd like you to look at Ephesians chapter 2, familiar verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Look at what Paul says here. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What a wonder it is that God should prepare beforehand
good works, good deeds, for people like you and me to walk in. It is a wonder. This is exactly what God did with regards to the people of Nineveh. Think of it, my friends. God is the source of repentance. God is the source of good works. Salvation is by grace. And our God, both providing that repentance and those good works, then looks at these people in the city of Nineveh and rejoices over the work of his hands and relents concerning the calamity which he said he would bring upon those people. I said when we began that I wanted you to see the utter God-centeredness of the salvation of God. And here it is. God, again, granted that repentance. God changed the people, enabling them to do good. God gave them then the good works to perform. And then God took notice of their deeds. What a wonder it is. My friends, when we grasp the perspective that is present in this sort of thing, our assurance in the living God can grow leaps and bounds. Because as we have an opportunity day by day to look at our own lives and see within ourselves the things that God has brought into our lives, the deeds that God has brought into our lives, we ought to be able to say, and I know I can say, and I've said it more than once as something has occurred in my own life, Benny, it certainly wasn't you that reacted that way. It's not your nature to do it. It is the work of God. Praise the Lord. I'm His. Not because of anything I've done, but because of what He's done. And He's worked it out in me. That's what took place in the city of Nineveh when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way. And then God, it says, God relented. It's interesting, isn't it? The King James Version says, God repented concerning the calamity which He had declared. This is a tough one for us, especially for people who believe in the great sovereignty of the living God. But it ought not to be too difficult for us. Let's look again at what the Scriptures say. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, and the very last verse in that chapter. Moses, or I should really say the Spirit of the living God speaking through Moses, says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of His law." Two great things are given to us here. On one side, there are the secret things which belong to God, the secret plans of Almighty God. And I'll tell you what, you can't look into God's heart, and I can't either, to discern His secret plans. It's impossible for us to do, and it won't work. Don't try. On the other hand, there are those things which are revealed. But the revealed things belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of His law. God has seen fit to reveal things to us in His Word. They're very clear. They're set forth in black and white. They're given to us in the Scripture. These are the things which are for us and for our children. That which is plainly revealed to us.
praise the Lord that He's seen fit to reveal things to us. And so we have on one side the secret plan of God, and on the other side the things which are revealed to us by God in the Scriptures. We don't have to resort to dreams and visions, folks. And I wouldn't encourage you to do that. Resort to the Scriptures to see those things which are revealed to us and belong to us. Well, let's just briefly look at these two sides. First of all, those things which are hidden, the secret plans of God. Paul speaks about these things in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Paul says, "Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will." Here is an amazing statement. God has no counselors. God works all things according to the counsel of His own will. God has a plan. God has purposes. God works all things according to His purposes. And this is exactly what took place in the city of Nineveh. As we've already said, God sent Jonah into the city of Nineveh to preach. God gave the people repentance so that they would hear the preaching of Jonah and turn from their wicked ways. God gave them the good deeds so that they would walk in them. And then God saw their deeds and relented concerning what He had proclaimed earlier. And this was all done in accordance with God's plan. Listen to what Calvin says here. "Strictly speaking, no repentance can belong to God, and it ought not to be ascribed to His secret or hidden counsel." And that's true. God's plans are sure. But then if you look back at Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4, here we have an interesting thing. "Then Jonah began to go through that city one day's walk, and he cried out and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown.'" This is the revealed will of God given to the people in the city of Nineveh. And how were these people to respond to this revealed will of God? God's message was clear, and God's message today is just as clear, given to us in Scripture. "Repent, therefore, and return, that your sins may be wiped away. Today is the day of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." This is the revealed will of God. And men and women are required by God to respond in a positive fashion to that revealed will of Almighty God. And this is what took place in the city of Nineveh. And as God saw these people respond in a positive way to the preaching of the Word of God, the Scriptures say He relented. That is, from our earthly perspective, God changed His mind. From our earthly perspective, that is. Listen again to what Calvin says here. "We hence see there is a twofold view of God. As He sets Himself forth in His Word, and as He is as to His hidden counsel. With regard to His hidden counsel, I have already said that God is always like Himself and is subject to none of our feelings. But with regard to the teachings of His Word, it is accommodated to our capabilities and capacities. God is now angry with us, and then, as though He were pacified, He offers pardon and propitiation to us. Such is the repentance of God." And so it was, friends, that God relented. What does this mean to us? Too theological, you say. Perhaps. Perhaps. I'll tell you what it means. I'll tell you what it means to me in this circumstance today, on this Lord's Day morning. We do not know what God's secret counsel is for our city or for our nation. And we cannot know what God's secret counsel and plan is for this city until it unfolds before our eyes. But we do know God's revealed will. And God has said that it was through the foolishness of preaching that He has planned for men and women to come to a saving knowledge of Himself. That's part of God's revealed will. That's what God did through Jonah in the city of Nineveh. And men and women were spared a great judgment. Do you know it was only 150 years later that Nineveh was overthrown in a great catastrophe? 150 years later. Amazing. We don't know what God's secret will is. But folks, we know what His revealed will is. And His revealed will is to go forward and preach the gospel to those who are in need. That's what His revealed will is. And in this city and in this state, we are bound to follow His revealed will and preach the gospel. And if we don't, what will the consequences be? I can't tell you clearly, except from what the Scriptures say. But I can tell you this of a surety, that if you take it on your heart to take the gospel to others and to support the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this place, men and women will be changed like God changed men and women in the city of Nineveh. It will take place right here in this city. Praise God. That's why He's called us together. I'm convinced of it. The Word of God tells us it's so. Are we going to respond to the Word of God as He's given it to us in His revealed will? That, my friends, is the great next question.